Hi, my name is Duncan, and we are the Fantasy Football Fanatics. I'm joined by Ben in LA and Andy in San Fran. Andy, what was your football highlight of game week 20?
It was an early one this week. It was Spurs' terrible form finally catching up with them. I've been talking about this for weeks, and it's been shown in the results. So that was a big highlight for me, especially given I also mentioned a few weeks ago that Man U were hitting form at the same time as the teams above them seemed to be stuttering. So that's almost a complete set now if we can just get Liverpool to lose some games.
A nice highlight, although you're failing to mention the five goals and six goals they scored in the last couple of fixtures. So I'm not sure
Yeah,
if
it was papering over the cracks is what that was.
that and Gary on the last pod, amazing predictions, predicted Wolves that would get a result against Tottenham, and I think we were saying before we came on that he also predicted Burnley would get a result against West Ham. A lot harder to spot that. Amazing predictions from Gary, but he's done what you've done previously early in the season, made great predictions, but not put those people in his team.
He's taken on my mantle.
Yeah.
Next is that he'll start predicting people to win and they'll start losing 6-2.
That's the next step. What was your highlight of the week, Ben?
My football highlight of the week was penalties. So there was a lot of penalty drama this week, which I thought was pretty entertaining. Neil Etheridge saved another penalty. He's so good at saving penalties. I think this is his third penalty save. And then I don't know if you guys saw the Kamara-Mitrovic argument, where in the injury time, Kamara wanted to take the penalty, despite the whole of Craven Cottage basically like booing him, asking Mitrovic to take it. Then he missed it, and then after the match, Ranieri was like, "I wanted to kill him." I thought that was pretty funny. And then the Liverpool penalty, I was a non-Salah owner. And it was so nice of him to see him give up the penalty to Bobby Firmino to get the hat trick. Dodged a massive bullet there. But yeah, I thought it was quite an entertaining weekend of like penalty drama.
Yeah,
You know
wasn't
what the
it?
best thing was? The best thing I think about the Fulham one was the look on Kamara's face as literally the entire team was trying to wrestle the ball out of his hands. And he was like, "No, I'm keeping it. It's my ball. I'm taking the penalty." Brilliant.
He definitely looked like a big child, didn't he? Like a school bully. There was another penalty as well. It was the James Maddison one. Did you mention that?
Oh yeah, Madison missed penalty against who saved that one? Pickford?
Oh no, that was
No,
Etheridge,
wait.
wasn't
That was
it? That was
Etheridge. Yeah,
Etheridge. Yeah,
that was Etheridge.
Your gun Ben not coming off there, although so close.
So close.
And you know what? There could have been a lot more penalties as well, actually. Eric Bailly managed to not concede a penalty despite kicking, I think it was Ryan Fraser in the face in the penalty box. And there's one in another game as well. Was it in the Man City game? There was a penalty. There was what looked like a really obvious penalty to me that wasn't conceded. So there could have been even more.
Moving away from the penalties, which I really like that one, Ben. My highlight of the week came in at a game I wouldn't have expected. It was the Fulham game. I was watching the highlights of Match of the Day, and like a nice move from Huddersfield late on in the game, pushing for a win, as they do, playing positive football. And I think the ball kind of ricocheted out of the box to about 30 yards out, and legend of the pod, Phil Billing, went for an acrobatic 30-yard strike on goal, completely missed the ball, fell flat on his face. Fulham counterattacked, and Mitrovic got the last-minute winner. Not really a highlight because I love Phil Billing. It's more of a low light in the Matt style of highlights. That was just, I think it was the most entertaining part of my game week because the rest of it was spent watching Arsenal get hammered by Liverpool. So it was just a little bit of comedy that I enjoyed. Onto the game week's review, I think, Andy, I think you're top of the pile. Do you want to talk us through your game week?
I got completely rescued today because I had an awful Saturday. Obviously, I have Salah, but I didn't captain him, and a lot of people did. So him scoring 12 points was actually not that good for me, given how many other people captained him. Sigurdsson and Richarlison did nothing. Dubravka conceded on in the game to lose his clean sheet. Snodgrot was sort of a few players left to play today. Aubameyang obviously didn't score against Liverpool, which was more predictable maybe. But then today, out of the bag comes captain Paul Pogba with 2 goals and assists, presumably man of the match. Rashford scores and gets an assist. So in that one game, once you add in the bonus points, I'm going to have got 49 points from the single game. So big winner today. I'm now on 68 points, but with what will presumably be 3, therefore 6 for Pogba in bonus points and another 2 for Rashford to come in, I'm going to end up on mid-70s. So that'll be a very good score in the end. Pretty happy with that. And even with 13 points on the bench, with Doherty and Jimenez both scoring but not being in the team.
Yeah, really good week. And Pogba proving me wrong. Is that 4 goals now in 2 games and an assist?
And 3 assists.
3 assists. Wow.
And do you know what else, which is a very good sign for Man U fans, is people are saying, oh, well, you know, it's easy fixtures. But we've just scored 12 goals in 3 games. And the last time we did that was 2011. So very well saying, well, it's easy to score lots of goals against bad teams, but it's taken us that long to score so many goals against bad teams. So it's a very, very encouraging sign.
Any problems in your team that you need to sort out? What was your transfer?
My transfer was Pogba in Sané, which looks a lot better even now than it did then. The problems in my team, I think, I'm getting worried about Richarlison. I think he's one of those players who has good, like last season he was good in the first half of the season, then tailed off. I'm worried that's happening to him again this season. So I consider him to be a problem. I've still got Kolasinac, who is playing with an absolutely dreadful Arsenal back line. It's interesting, I saw a stat about him before the Liverpool game, that he actually is the most creative player in Arsenal's team per 90 minutes. He creates the most chances. So as a defender, that seems like even if he's conceding goals, that might be worth having. But obviously, Arsenal need to score goals for that to be worth anything. So I'm not sure about him or, to a lesser extent, Aubameyang at the moment. We'll see how those two go. I was until this week considering Alonso to be a problem. But actually, I'm looking at his upcoming fixtures and Hazard hitting form. Maybe we could be seeing Chelsea get better now. So I don't think he's my biggest problem, but one I've got my eye on at least.
Fair enough. Next up is Ben. Ben, do you want to talk us through your game week?
Yep. So I held a transfer. I saved a transfer this week, like I talked about last pod, expecting a red arrow because I don't have Salah. And that was just agony watching that Liverpool-Arsenal game without Salah, because he could have had so many more points. And Arsenal's backline was completely diabolical, all of them. I was like, I felt like an Arsenal fan because I was just like shouting at my TV about how bad Arsenal's defense was. But it seems like I've got away with it. I think I'll end up on probably just over 60 points after the bonus, which I think is enough for a green arrow this week. So I also had Pogba, 2 goals assist. He almost got a hat trick, but Begovic saved his third shot onto the post. I captained Kane, which was kind of lucky, actually. He only had 1 shot on goal and it went in, and it was a really good goal. Had Jimenez. I kept Sterling for one more week, and he's going to get an assist and I think 1 bonus as well. So, yeah, pretty happy, actually, for a week where I saved a transfer. The only bad things were Camarasa on my bench with 10 points, but was never really going to play him. So, yeah. Overall, pretty happy, and I've already made my transfers, but I can talk about them later.
Do you feel with your defence, because you've got Alonso, Digne, Robertson, Doherty, and Wan-Bissaka, do you feel like you have a bit of a headache each week picking which one of the 3 or 5 to play?
Yeah, a little bit. I think my formation is basically playing 4-4-2 now. So at least that I think I really plan to play Dean and Doherty every week is my plan. unless they have a really, really tough fixture like Man City away or something like that. But yeah, it's a little bit of a headache. But I think it's a good thing, especially with like rotation potentially over this month.
And Doherty and Wan-Bissaka are so cheap, I guess it doesn't really make much difference.
Yeah.
Nice one. Good game week. I came in with, I think, 58 points, which will be my final score with bonus. I took a hit. Not really sure why I did. I didn't have much time to do much research this week, and I think I was just kind of maybe a bit too casual about it. I got rid of Sterling. I brought in Anderson and Martial for Sterling and Camarasa, and it's probably just a bad week to do that. Camarasa ends up scoring a worldie, and Sterling gets an assist. Martial got an assist and Anderson got nothing. So it was a bad week, I think, to spend 4 points. I think I should have done what Ben did and just hold out and see what Sterling could get and have the two transfers next week. I got Salah as captain, which is good. Kane and Rashford chipping in with goals, and Doherty getting an assist. It's another kind of standard game week that I've been having recently, just trying to get to between 50 and 60 points and kind of solid and staying in there. But it does feel at the moment that I'm losing quite a lot of ground to people in our mini league and just generally bouncing around the top 10K. I think I was up to 4,000 or something, and then I was out of the top 10K and I'm back to 8,000. So it feels like I'm not really pushing on and maybe not getting on players early enough. So yeah, not as positive about it as I was last week, but not a bad game week all in all, to be honest. Right, should we have a look at the fixtures for game week 21? It's again coming up really soon. It's coming up on Tuesday. And we haven't had a huge amount of time to prep these ones, but Andy, you're top of the pile. So what do you reckon to Everton-Leicester?
Well, this is Everton are so hard to predict at the moment, aren't they? I mean, Gary mentioned last week how fun it was that they were losing 6-2 and then winning 5-1, and now they've inexplicably lost to Burnley 2-0.
Oh no,
Brighton. Not, sorry, Brighton 2. So that's inexplicably lost to Brighton. Beg your pardon. So which Everton's going to show up? I'm seriously considering transferring out Richarlison now because I think he's looking a bit ring weary to me. But Sigurdsson I'm going to hang on to because I think that when Everton do well, he's generally central to it. And I think he's sort of, they don't have anybody else who can play in the position he does, which is crucial to their team. See, really difficult one. I don't think you can really, I don't have a lot of conviction about what I'm going to say here, but I'm going to go with an Everton win because they're at home. I'm going to say probably high scoring. So if you've got attackers on either side, then play both of them, I'd say, because likely both teams are going to score. Which one's going to win? Not a clue.
It's such a tough one, isn't it? Leicester are in a similar boat to Everton. You know, they beat Man City, they beat Chelsea, and then they lose against Cardiff. So they're in a similar kind of team to Everton in that they come so hard to predict from one game to the next. I think it might be quite an even game based on that fact, really. I think you're right. I think goals. I'm not so sure about getting rid of Richarlison. I think his returns recently have been pretty steady. I think, you know, he picked up an assist last week. Oh, sorry, picked up a goal last week, an assist before that, and then had, you know, two goals in the three games before that. So I think he's just generally ticking along. I'm quite happy with him at the price he's at and the fixtures he's got. I think I'm very keen to hold on to him, to be honest.
Well, here's my my dilemma is I've got 2.5 million in the bank and I seem to always have money in the bank. As soon as I spend it, the player that I spend it on loses form. And so then I bring somebody in who's cheap, Pogba for Sané, and saved a load of money doing that. So now I'm back to 2.5 million in the bank and I'm looking for where I can spend it. So upgrading, I could get Eriksen in for Richarlison, for example, which would be a huge upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, it would. And you had him before and he's done well since. So fair enough. But yeah, I'd urge caution. I know you've got two Everton midfielders, so it's a bit different for you, but I'm quite keen on Richarlison, and I don't know what do you reckon, Ben?
Yeah, I think Andy's transfer makes sense because he's doubled up on Everton, and maybe you don't want double coverage. I think I'm also happy with Richarlison. He hit the post against Brighton. I think Everton struggled against Brighton because they rested Sigurdsson for that game and then brought him on later. So maybe I think they'll probably play their strongest team against Leicester. Sigurdsson will come back. But yeah, I think it'll be a tight game. But I'm generally happy with Richarlison, but wouldn't want to double up on Everton.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I think, did you see much of, Ricardo or Pereira in this game for Leicester? I thought he looked really attacking again. He got a goal in the last game week, and although they lost the game, I thought even from right back, he looked really attacking, got quite a few efforts on goal. Still a good option at 5.2.
Yep.
He could well be. There seems to be quite a lot of defenders coming into the fray right now. Yerry Mina being one of them. Digne obviously has scored 17 points last week. So quite a lot of options in there. It's possibly a place that you can differentiate.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Maybe no need for the expensive defenders like Alonso. Ben, what do you reckon to Arsenal Fulham?
I think this will be a bounce back game for Arsenal. I think they'll win this one, but maybe won't be easy. Maybe like a 2-0, since Ranieri and Fulham are trying to tighten up a little bit more at the back. But Arsenal at home, I think they just have too much attacking quality for Fulham. So if you still have Aubameyang, definitely would keep him. Maybe even a captain shout for this week. I don't know if too many people have Lacazette left because of his rotation risk. But yeah, I see Arsenal winning this and bouncing back after their completely shambolic performance against Liverpool. Completely terrible defending by all of them.
It was pretty bad, wasn't it?
I got a question for you on that one, Ben. Imagine a world where you haven't yet chosen your formation, and so somehow you have a choice between Mitrovic and Kolasinac. Which one are you playing?
I think for this fixture specifically, I would play Kolasinac, because Fulham will probably be defending, and Arsenal will be bombing forward, and Kolasinac, I think he's way better going forward than he is defending, as he showed against Liverpool.
Were you saying that he was the Arsenal player who's created the most chances this season?
Yeah, I saw that stat on Football 365. I was reading up before the Arsenal Liverpool game, and yeah, he's Arsenal's most creative player, despite the fact that he hasn't sort of consistently been in the side. And I think it's because when they play three at the back, he does get forward a lot, and so he's got the most chances created per 90 minutes.
So yeah, definitely worth keeping for this fixture if people are wavering.
Could be.
And I know he definitely can't defend. After watching him against Liverpool.
But he might still be Arsenal's best available defender.
Yeah, it's concerning.
So there's another issue. If we're backing our Arsenal assets, Callum Chambers, who's been played in the midfield, the defensive midfield, alongside Seri, obviously is on loan from Arsenal, so won't be playing in this game. And I think he's had quite a good season, despite the fact that Fulham haven't looked that great. I think he's looked all right, what I've seen of him. So he's not going to be there. Also, Alfie Mawson has a bit of a knock. He's at 75%. He only played 45 minutes of this game week. So he's a big loss for them if he's not playing. And you've got to expect goals if he doesn't come back, if the injury he uses isn't good. And it's such a quick turnaround between games. Yeah, it's one to keep an eye on. Next up is one for me. It's Cardiff Spurs. I think I've got to expect Spurs to bounce back pretty quickly from the thrashing by Wolves. Wolves just kind of suckered them in and then got them on the counter-attack a couple of times. And I don't think Cardiff have that kind of nous. I think it's a lot more simple with Cardiff. And I think Spurs are just at a very different level in terms of quality. Barring another Camarasa worldie from the edge of the box, which I think is once in a blue moon, or at least I hope it is now I've got rid of him, I think this is one for your Spurs assets. I think Kane has been doing what everyone has predicted he would do over the Christmas period, which is kind of tick over. He hasn't gone mad with hat-tricks. He got a brace against Everton, and then he's pretty much scored most games. So quite often you get 6 points from him. But he looks like quite a big shout for captaincy this week, with Liverpool playing City and kind of tough fixtures for some of the other teams. It's kind of between Kane and Aubameyang possibly. And I think looking at his form and the team they're playing, I'd probably go with Kane at the moment. That's who my bus team captain is on. Yeah, I think Son, Eriksen, Kane, bring him in and get rid of your Cardiff assets. I think that's a pretty simple one. What about the Wednesday? First Wednesday fixture for us is Bournemouth-Watford, and that's for Andy.
Yeah, these are kind of, again, it's not a pretty evenly matched game, this one, I think. If you look at Bournemouth, they've come out of a pretty rough run of fixtures and are going into a not light run now. The next three are not red, at least. They're grey fixtures. They've got Watford, Everton and West Ham, of which two are at home. So it could be a bit of respite for your Bournemouth assets here, for those who still have either or both of Callum Wilson and Ryan Fraser. Could be a chance to get them back into the side again after a while where they've not really had a chance to perform. Watford are a funny side. Like I don't really... They're obviously good, but I don't really understand how or why. I think Matt and I obviously disagree. He's right. He seems to have been right so far this season. So I guess Ducouré, Pereira, players like that are performing really well for them. De La Feu. So those are the players I think you want if you're going to select Watford assets. They're both pretty attacking sides. So again, could be goals in this game. On the Bournemouth side, I thought Brooks looked really good against Man U. He obviously was on the losing side, but he got an assist. He was taking corners, and the corners looked really, really high quality. Like, there were a couple of times where he put in really, really devastating balls into the box, and between Matic and Ake, there was a lot of really good, fun to watch, as attack versus defence heading of the ball there. Obviously, Ake did score on a second attempt, which Brooks got the assist on, so he could be one worth looking at because he's so cheap. But I think attacking midfielders are the way to go in this game, because I think it's going to be a game where both teams score.
I would definitely back Watford to get goals in this game. I think Bournemouth defence has not looked good over the last good few game weeks, and I think in their last two away games, Watford have got two goals in each of those games, so they're quite potent. I mean, they've got De La Feu on the counter-attack, and yeah, like you were saying, lots of options to score. I'm not so sure about Bournemouth. I think their goose might be cooked this season, as a kind of a festive mention.
Very good. I liked it. I enjoyed that.
Thank you. But yeah, I just think they've been worn out by playing all the big teams. They don't rotate a huge amount. I think they look tired, and I think the confidence is kind of shot. And I think the Watford team are pretty solid. They're pretty tough. A lot of big lads. And I think this could just be a bit of a bruising for Bournemouth, to be honest.
Could be. I mean, one thing that backs up what you're saying is that at the end of the game against Man U, they were playing with three centre-backs, of which two were left-backs. They're playing Charlie Daniels, Diego Rico and Ake. Ake looked injured, took a knock midway through the game, and then Lewis Cook took a knock later on. So, Steve Cook isn't the defender. Yeah, Steve Cook took a knock late on. Yellow triangle, but I think Cook didn't look fit either. So they had to bring Mings on at the end, who has a bit of a checkered history playing for Bournemouth. So it does look like they're going through a bit of the Arsenal-style wars at the back, where they're just desperately trying to patch together a defence when they don't actually have any defenders to play.
Yeah.
So you could be right. That kind of backs what you're saying.
I think that's definitely true. And I think it's a good spot because they were falling apart before they got these injuries. Now Simon Francis is out for the season with cruciate ligament. Like you say, Aki is out. And Daniels has looked shocking. He has looked Kolasinac against Liverpool bad this and there's been mistakes leading to goals. Loads of time. Him playing at centre back is a really scary prospect. So yeah, maybe this is the week for Watford.
Who's the better defender, Charlie Daniels or Lichtsteiner?
Oh, Lichtsteiner.
Oh, definitely Daniels. No one's as bad as Lichtsteiner.
I would say Lichtsteiner because he gets away with so much. Because he's so aggressive. He gets away with more than... I mean, he hasn't been sent off yet this season, has he? Which is fairly amazing.
I love his look of surprise as well. Whenever the whistle goes against him, he's really perfected that, like, wide-eyed look of, what are you talking about, ref? I did nothing wrong here.
Yeah, and when he cleared the ball against one of his fellow defenders and it led to the first goal for Liverpool, everyone was having a go at him and he was shouting back as if he had any kind of defence. next up, we've got Chelsea Bournemouth, and that's for Ben.
Chelsea Southampton. Yeah, I think this will be a comfortable home win for Chelsea. Because I don't think Southampton set up that defensively, and they seem to concede a lot of goals. So, conceded 3 against City today. I think the previous game conceded 2 against West Ham. So, I think Chelsea will be able to score quite easily against them. So, I see this maybe being like a 3-1 to Chelsea. So I'm a Hazard owner, so I'm seriously considering captaining him for this game. And I think it's probably a good clean sheet shout too if you have Chelsea defenders. Alonso, David Luiz got an assist today, so anyone who has him should probably play him for this game as well. So yeah, I think Chelsea win. Giroud got injured today and probably be out for a while, but I don't think... So they'll probably keep playing Hazard as a false nine is my guess.
Have you seen much of Southampton since the new manager took over?
A little bit. I didn't see the game today, but I was considering Nathan Redmond for a little bit because I think he's quite cheap. He's like 5.2, and he seems like he's really attacking in this new system. I do know that Danny Ings didn't play today. I assume he was just getting rested. So my guess is Ings will come back for this one. But yeah, I think they're slightly more attacking under Hasenhüttl.
Yeah, they. I watched the game today, and I thought that City were lucky to get away with only conceding 1. Conversely, Southampton were lucky to get away with only conceding 3. I think their defence didn't look great. But there were a few times what we referred to a couple of weeks ago as the Hasenhüttl hustle caught City out. The goal that they scored was Højbjerg taking the ball off Zinchenko with his back to goal and just sort of striding in and lashing it past the goalkeeper. There was a fantastic save that Ederson made off a corner where Charlie Austin won the header at the near post. And it was one of those ones where it kind of arrows down towards like right next to the keeper's feet where it's difficult to save it, and he got down really quickly to sort of not only save it but kind of get a wrist on it and power it sort of up and away from goal as well. So yeah, I thought they looked good going forward, even without Danny Ings or Nathan Redmond starting. Charlie Austin looked pretty dire apart from that one moment, and I think had they had Ings up front, possibly it could have been a bit more embarrassing for City.
I'm a bit concerned with Ings at the moment because of the Hasenhüttl hassle. That is changing every time we say it. His minutes, I think because Ings is so injury prone and he wants to keep that high press going, he gets about 65 minutes in the fixture since he's joined, which means he's going to be fresh, but he's not on the pitch very much, which is a bit annoying. Although good that he got the rest against City, and you can guarantee that he'll play against Chelsea, or you've got a good chance he will. But yeah, just a bit worrying. Those minutes are something to keep an eye on, I think. Next up, Huddersfield Burnley. Not one for the purists, I don't think. Huddersfield have fallen off the wagon quite heavily, I think. I think they've now got their record number of defeats as a club in a row. So not looking good at all. Burnley, I mean, I've been backing Burnley to come back from the brink all season and being wrong about it. And it was nice to hear someone else on the pub last week and Gary saying that he thought Burnley might turn it around this game week, and they did. Because Huddersfield just can't score goals, I think I would back Burnley in this fixture, because there aren't going to be a huge amount of goals. I think clean sheets are not a bad shout. So maybe it's not a bad time if you've got the money in the bank to think about a Burnley defender, or failing that, if you've got a goalkeeping spot, playing Joe Hart. I know a few people had him earlier on in the season, so this might be a good fixture for them.
Duncan. I want to shout out Andy for saying Joe Hart is his whipping boy, because Tom Heaton is back. He played today. He played yesterday. Yeah, Tom Heaton is back.
This has been my thing about Burnley all season, is I thought that they relied so heavily on goalkeeping in previous seasons, and they wouldn't be able to do that this season. But with Tom Heaton back, guess what? They won a game.
And they kept a clean sheet.
Right.
So maybe now is the time. James Tarkowski's 4.7, not bad, and a threat from corners. Their fixtures are pretty good. So, yeah, maybe an option. Maybe if you're going to get on it, you want to get on it early, because once they start racking up those double-digit hauls... No. but, yeah, I'll be back in Burnley for this one. I think Huddersfield are goners, to be honest. So, yeah, apart from Phil Billing, there's no one of any worth, I don't think. West Ham Brighton, that's one for Andy.
I'm expecting a West Ham win in this game. West Ham are, even though Brighton did well against Everton, I think that they are generally worse away than they are at home. They're at home than they are away. Their attacking side will want to bounce back after a disappointing result this week. So I think it's one for Felipe Anderson, one for Snodgrass. Arnautovic is now back, well, he didn't do much this week. I think it's possibly one for him too. Interesting thing with West Ham is Andy Carroll played this week. And after he came on, West Ham looked a lot better than they did before he came on, which is a surprising thing to say in a game against Burnley. So I think he may start the next game, which would be an interesting one. As in, who's going to lose out? Does that mean Arnautovic doesn't start up front? For those who are looking out to see whether he'd want to transfer in at the moment, I think still it's the same old story though with West Ham. Is Felipe Anderson is your first choice at that level? If you're looking for a cheap one, Snodgrass is a pretty good option. And on the Brighton side, there isn't really anybody who's jumping out at me that I'd want to play them anyway. So definitely not for this game.
Even after their surprise win against Everton.
Even after their surprise, I think that's more about Everton's inconsistency than it. Because Brighton are this like really metronomic side that plays all right every week. And if they play against a team that plays badly, they'll win. And that happens enough times for them to stay up. That's kind of how I read Brighton. So when they're playing against an out-of-form team, you look out for them and say, okay, well, maybe they're going to do something here. But West Ham aren't out of form. They just had a bad result. I think at home they're going to do well here against Brighton.
Yeah. One player that interests me for Brighton is Lacadia. He's got two goals in his last two games and picked up three bonus in each of those games. And it's not one for now, I don't think. But as a forward, he's 5.3. So he's kind of competing with Danny Ings at that kind of price. And I think the fixtures, the next three are pretty tough. But after that, it's kind of a sea of green. And he's been getting the starts. He's been getting the minutes recently. And it's just one to keep an eye of over the next three fixtures. Sometimes when Murray plays, he plays in the advanced midfield roles. So he doesn't have to have a starting place up front. I just think, yeah, just one to keep an eye on. Not one for the moment, I don't think, but an interesting one maybe for now or for next season. Yeah, I agree. I think West Ham, Felipe Anderson, keep an eye on Arnautovic. Good shout. And definitely with Rashford coming off slightly early in the Man U game, not getting a huge amount of minutes. and Arnautovic is someone to think about at that same price point. So yeah, one to watch.
Actually, I have the opposite reading of the Rashford situation, is that he came off to make sure that he was fresh for the next game. Real form at the moment. He even though he didn't get points last week, there was that moment where he really embarrassed Jorgensen at left back, and then Dallow should have scored but sort of sliced it wide. And this week he just looked on fire. The number of times he embarrassed the defenders, he went past two and then slid it across for Pogba for his first goal. And honestly, though, if I those defenders, that would just be like head in hand. Like, how on earth do you defend against this guy? So I think Rashford has won that first choice striker berth for now, and as long as he keeps playing like this, he'll stay there.
It's just there's a bit of a yellow flag on him at the moment on the site, with they're saying it's a groin strain. And with Lukaku playing 20 minutes, I kind of thought maybe it's the next fixtures coming a bit soon. If he's got a bit of a niggle and Lukaku doesn't have the minutes, that might be a bit of a risk for rotation.
Yeah, it could be. Depends on whether there really is. I mean, the match is just finished, right? So it depends on whether there really is a groin strain. But yeah. Lukaku, although he scored, he was offside for his goal. It shouldn't have counted. And we were noticeably worse after he came on than before. So,
yeah, keep an eye on it. Ben, what do you reckon to Wolves Palace?
Yeah, this one's I think a tough one. I think it'll be quite close and tight. So I'll be playing my Wolves defenders for this game. I think maybe Wolves will edge it, but I think it'll be low scoring because Palace have also been defensively a lot better recently. So yeah, maybe like a 1-0 or a 2-1, something like that is probably my prediction.
Yeah, I completely agree. Are you got any interest in Gibbs White for Wolves? I just thought about him for his price. I think he's quite a good price, and he plays in quite an advanced position. He's only 4.3 at the moment, and he's had minutes recently. I know he didn't get a lot of minutes against Tottenham, but recently he's had quite a few. Maybe an interesting enabler?
Maybe, but probably he doesn't. He doesn't play normally like the full games. But yeah, I think he's more attacking than some of the other enablers like Phil Bills. But I would prefer Phil Billing.
Well, of course.
Potential worldies Phil Bills can produce.
Well, they've both got great haircuts. I don't know. Now is the time to see. The time of the year where you look at players and start thinking about next season slightly. You're thinking about players who might come in at a nice price. I mentioned Lacadia at Brighton, who might go under the radar slightly, but maybe pick up some form towards the end of the season and sometimes take that form into the next season. Maybe Gibbs White is just a cheap option that might be available next season. Yeah, just think something that's quite nice to do without any pressure. But I agree with your prediction. I think, yeah, it's going to be a tight game, whatever happens, and play your Wolves defender. Would you play Wan-Bissaka, Ben?
I thought about it. If I didn't have such good defensive options, I think he's first on my bench right now. I think Palace have a clean sheet shout here as well. So yeah, I don't think it's the worst option depending on your team. But I would probably back a Wolves clean sheet over a Palace clean sheet.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. And it's a game week where a lot of defenders have good fixtures. A lot of the defenders that are in FPL teams. So probably not necessary. Newcastle, Man United. I don't know how, but I've got this one to preview. So I'm going to ask for a lot of help from you guys because I didn't actually watch the Man U game. And I saw the highlights of the Newcastle-Watford game. I thought Rondon looked good again, but is he going to trouble Man United? Maybe for the one goal. I think I mentioned it. Gary was talking about Phil Jones and was saying he was going to bring him in, and he actually followed through on that and did bring in Phil Jones. And it may still come good for him, and the fixtures are great. But again, Man U conceded that one goal, slightly like Man City had been doing. So I don't know if they are going to be that resolute at the back, but if they are, Newcastle and Huddersfield are the teams to prove it against, because they're quite goal shy. Yeah, I think Pogba is obviously on absolute fire. An unbelievable amount of returns over the last three games, double digit hauls in all of them, proving me wrong completely, whatever he does from now on. So I'm absolutely gutted I went for Martial. I should have just gone with what everyone else was going for. Sometimes it's so easy to ignore those players. I think I did it with Ramsey a few seasons ago when he went on his scoring run. And sometimes even though you don't think they're going to do it, you just have to go with it. Because
yeah, you should have listened to us, Duncan. We were trying to help you.
You weren't. So yeah, I think Man U assets, we've talked about them, play them. But guys, you watched the game, what do you think? Did you see any more kind of details in who might play or who might be worth backing?
Well, Juan Mata missed the game. So depending on whether Solskjaer is rotating to that extent or not, you might expect to see him come back in for the next game, probably at the expense of Lingard, who's a lot of minutes. So that's, if anyone's thinking of transferring in Lingard, I'd leave it a week. He's got a habit, Solskjaer, of bringing on youth players at the end of games, which obviously, you know, it's obvious why he's doing that. Andreas Pereira came on at the end and looked good, but I don't necessarily think he's a fantasy asset. But, you know, he's very, very cheap. And if he, you know, knocks a couple of goals in, then you might see him appear a bit more. So one to watch out for, I think, as an enabler. But beyond that, not really. I think we've already spoken about the Rashford-Lukaku dichotomy. We'll see what happens there. Anything to add, Ben?
Yeah. Phil Jones is nailed now because Bailly's going to be suspended for three games. If you think Manu are going to keep clean sheets, then I think the centre-back pairing is going to be Lindelof, Phil Jones. The only thing I see with this game is I think this will be Manu's toughest game yet because Benitez will bring his like double-decker bus. So I think this one will be lower scoring than some of the previous Manu games, if I had to guess.
Yeah, maybe.
Like a 2-0 or something like that. I think Rashford definitely has a niggle. If we see that in the like press conferences, then I think Lukaku will definitely start. Just because they won't want to take the risk with Rashford because the game is only like 2 or 3 days away.
And also, maybe it's a good fixture for him if it's a deep lying defence. He might want a large target man in the box to go up against those centre backs. Benitez might even play a back three like he has a couple of times.
Yeah.
So it might be a game.
Another one actually that I saw was Ashley Young picked up his sixth yellow card of the season. So he's not far away from a suspension, which could lead to Dalot replacing him.
Hasn't the suspension, the five card suspension thing passed now?
Oh, has it? In that case, ignore me.
I think it might have. I mean, maybe if you have Young in your team, maybe check that out. Because I'm not completely sure and you're not completely sure, but yeah, one to watch out for if you're mad enough to have Ashley Young in your team.
Yeah, if you have Young in your team,
it's more about who replaces
your
him
bigger
than
problems.
It is about Young
himself. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, cheap backup. Is that Dalot?
It'd be Dalot. Because it's quite difficult to tell because Young can play at left back too, but if Young isn't going to play, then Shaw is nailed on and he's 4.9. So that could be a good cheap defender if you believe Manu are going to keep clean sheets.
Yeah. Next up, it's the big game of the weekend, and it's one for you, Andy. It's Man City-Liverpool.
Yeah, it's painful for me to say this, but I don't see Man City winning this game. I said last week that I thought that Fernandinho coming back into the side would see the old Man City come back, and they did win this week. But they played a very strange back line with Zinchenko, Laporte, who normally plays, Kompany and Danilo as their back four, which did not look very comfortable. I'm not sure they really have their back line sorted out at the moment. And I think Pep's quite worried about it. With Liverpool visiting, there is no worse team to be playing against right now than Liverpool or generally this Liverpool team. Forget what form they're currently on. Salah's on great form and I think he's going to score in this game, especially if Zinchenko plays because he looked awful. I think that Firmino scoring a hat-trick couldn't have come at a worse time for City, because that sort of signals a return to form for him, where he hasn't been that good this season, up until this point at least. Mane scored as well. Like, I'd be worried about Man City's defence if I were Pep Guardiola right now. Conversely, I think that City have enough to score against Liverpool. So with Aguero returning to the team and scoring this week, possibly he's a viable option if you're looking to bring somebody in at that price point up front, because he's obviously a very reliable scorer regardless of the form his team's in. So I don't think this is a complete bust for City assets, but I would expect Liverpool assets to be better in this game than City ones.
I think that's fair. Ben, what do you reckon to this fixture?
Yeah, I completely agree. So I was debating holding Sterling for this fixture, but having seen some of the highlights where Southampton were pressing City and winning the ball off them, Liverpool are like the best team in the league at doing that. And if you have like Salah and Mane up against like Zinchenko and Danilo, I would definitely back Liverpool to score. So I think actually Salah is still a pretty good option in this game, especially if they do play Zinchenko. So yeah, I see it either the best case I think for City is a draw. A worst case, Liverpool winning. I can't see City winning this game given current form. The only thing is like, they know this is a big game and it's at home. Maybe they lift their performance, but yeah, given what I've seen so far, I think I'd be favouring Liverpool more as well.
Yeah, I'd expect their first team defence to return, maybe, especially after a dreadful performance like the one they put in this week with the reserve defence. But even so, I don't feel like Pep's comfortable with his defence at the moment, especially after his comments last week about changing the dynamic of the defence.
And there is no first team left back, right?
Well, it's Fabian Delph at the moment, isn't it?
Delph is suspended for like three games. Yeah, because he got a red card last game, remember?
Of course he did, yeah.
Mendy is out. So there isn't a first choice left back. And you're going against Salah and Mane and Shaqiri. Yeah.
Yeah, Salah's side, isn't it? His kind of preferred side to attack from.
Danilo then. Sharp at left back, perhaps, because he can play both sides. Like, I definitely would be avoiding Zinchenko at all costs if I was Pep right now. So you might see Danilo show up there as a right-footed left back to counteract the left-footed right wing threat of Salah. But that would be also a position he's never played for Man City before. And so more discomfort there. Or maybe Laporte at left back, but then again, like, really limits the attacking side of their shape. So it doesn't look great for them, does it?
I think Laporte left back's not a bad shout in this big game. I think Pep has, in the games against the big teams this season, has tried to keep things fairly tight and not go too gung-ho. He did that against Spurs. He did that against Chelsea. And I can see him trying to kind of contain Liverpool slightly. So playing Laporte left back would fit in with that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if he does go for that and he plays slightly more conservatively, you might not see many goals in this fixture, I don't think, because Liverpool have a good back line, and if City are focused on that, it could be less goals. I definitely wouldn't be captaining anyone in this game in terms of fantasy assets, but I think Salah's fine to hold and play. It's going to be a good game, whatever happens. Definitely the one to watch this week. What about whipping boys? Andy, I'm going to come to you first for your whipping boys for this week.
I'm going to go Fulham against Arsenal.
Yeah, Fulham, we've kind of discussed how Mawson's out and Chambers is not eligible to play. So I think that's a pretty good shout. Ben, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I'll go Fulham too.
Okay. I have a slight inkling about Bournemouth against Watford, but I think, yeah, Arsenal at home trying to bounce back. I agree with you guys. Fulham are going to be our whipping boys. What about gut punts? Andy, who's your gut punt for this week?
My gut punts have been pretty rubbish recently. I kind of wish I'd said Joe Hart to be awful last week, because that was my big prediction that I should have hung my hat on. Can you come back to me?
Yeah, sure. I'll go in first then. My gut pun this week, as they're not our whipping boys, I'd quite like to pick Bournemouth up again as a team I'd like to target for gut punts. We've said, you know, they've been defending really badly. They've got problems. France is out injured. Aki picked up a knock. Daniels was playing centre-back. So the one that I'd be looking for is a Watford attacker. And I think De Feu scored in the last game. Bournemouth at home are likely to try to push for a win, push high up the pitch and try and attack and get goals. That's the way they play. And I think they're going to leave spaces at the back. And the pace of De La Feu might be quite telling. So he is my gut punt for this week, the flake that is Gerard De La Feu. What about you, Ben?
My gut punt is going to be Lukaku, because I think Rashford will not, they won't risk Rashford for this game. And I think Lukaku, you're going to see like a mini resurgence under the new manager. And he scored today. So I think he'll score against Newcastle.
I think that's a great shout. And he will surely be coming in trying to prove a point as well and trying to get into the good books of Solskjaer. So I think that's a really good shout. Andy, have you had enough time?
Yeah, I've kind of got two that I'm trying to choose between. Maybe you guys can help me choose. Option A is I thought that Maitland-Niles looked really good in defeat for Arsenal, so I'd expect him to retain his place against Fulham with a makeshift defence. So maybe expect, and of course, he scored the goal as well. So maybe look out for him. The other one I'm looking at is Andy Carroll, who, based on the minute by minute that I was reading of the West Ham game. West Ham did nothing, and then Andy Carroll came on, and there was Andy Carroll, Andy Carroll, Andy Carroll. So I'd expect him to either from the bench or if he starts, then from the start, cause problems for Brighton. So what do you guys think out of those two?
I think Maitland-Niles, I mean, we've discussed how bad Arsenal are at the back. And I think bringing in an Arsenal defender as your gut punt is pretty punty. I also think his end product is terrible. And assists, crossing is shocking. And just generally in the final third, he loses his head. I think that goal is very rare, and I don't think you're likely to see attacking returns from him. So I'd only back him if you see an Arsenal clean sheet. And at the moment, I don't see a lot of Arsenal clean sheets. So my preference would be on Andy Carroll, which is very punty. But yeah, that would be my preference out of the two.
Well, that is the name of the game, punty. They're both pretty punty. Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, they're both super punty. yeah, probably Andy Carroll. I don't know. Will Maitland-Niles even start Duncan against Fulham?
I think he probably will.
Yeah. I mean, he did look okay against Liverpool. And I didn't watch the West Ham game. So, yeah, I'll go Andy Carroll because it seems less insane than Maitland.
All right. I've got to be honest. I'm very disappointed with Lukaku as your punt, Ben. That's like the least punty punt ever. Like, centre forward for a team that is probably going to play. A team that just scored 12 goals in 3 games. So I'm going to make up for your lack of puntiness and be extremely punty this week. Andy Carroll is the choice.
Fair enough. I do think there is a bit of puntiness about Lukaku, but I accept.
He only has 4% ownership. There you go. Very punty.
Okay.
What is what's Andy Carroll's ownership?
Minus. I think it's in the minus.
Let's see. 0.1%. Oh, man.
What about clean sheets? Can you see many clean sheets? Andy, I'm going to come to you first.
Clean sheets. I am going to say Chelsea against Southampton.
Okay. Ben.
I'm going to go Man U against Newcastle.
Okay. I'm going to go Burnley against Huddersfield. We've bigged them up and big Tom Heaton is back between the sticks. I love Tom Heaton. So Burnley. Andy.
Spurs against Cardiff.
Yeah, another great shout. Okay, Ben.
I'll go West Ham against Brighton.
Yeah, Brighton away from home. Makes sense. I'm going to go Wolves against Palace. So back to you, Andy.
I think we're done.
You've called an end.
Can't see anything else in there.
We've got Fulham as our whipping boys. You're considering Maitland-Niles as one of your gut punts, and you haven't gone for Arsenal.
Have you seen their defence? I don't think Maitland-Niles is going to play in defence, because he played right wing this week. That's what I'm thinking of, is Maitland-Niles playing right wing and doing well going forward. Definitely not as a defender.
Okay. Ben, can you see any more?
No, I think anything else might be a risk.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Okay, we'll call it there. What about captains and transfers? Andy, should we have a look at you, your team?
Yeah, I'm really not sure what to do this week, which might lead to me this week. You may have talked me out here of losing Richarlison. If I do make a transfer, it's likely to be Richarlison for someone who's around the 9 million mark. So I think I've missed the boat on Heung-Min Son now, because he's only got one more game before and then goes to the Asia Games. So it won't be him. Maybe Ali or Eriksen. I'm not sure Sané is going to start, so not him. So that's kind of where I'm at with the Richarlison transfer, is that I might not do that because there isn't like a player that's nailed on for that spot. And you've kind of talked me out of it. But I've got Alonso, who I may use transfer for, or Kolasinac, who I may use a transfer for. But again, for either of those playing at Southampton and Fulham this week, it seems like both at home, it's kind of a strange week to transfer either of those two out. So I think I might save one. My captain this week.
Yeah, I think it looks like a good week for you to save. You've got two Everton midfielders with a good fixture. You've got Snodgrass with a good fixture, Pogba, Rashford. Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, the Rashford thing is one to maybe keep an eye on, but you've got a great squad. You've got two Wolves players with a good fixture. Yeah, I think maybe a week to hold.
I've also got Patricio in goal as well, so lots of Wolves players, so they'll be in this week. Yeah, I think I might hold on to it. The one question I have is at the back, do I play Alexander-Arnold or Kolasinac?
Kolasinac.
Yeah,
I think so. Ben, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think at least you have upside for attacking returns with Kolasinac too.
Yeah.
I think you do for Alexander-Arnold as well, though. Anyway, I've got a decision to make there. I think you're probably right that Kolasinac might just wallop on him from range or something, so it's probably the right decision. Yeah, and then captain is going to be Aubameyang against Fulham, I think.
Yeah, good shout. Yeah, it looks like a good week for you.
Yeah, that's a great captain for this week.
Ben,
it means it's not Pogba, though. It means I'm stripping Pogba of the captaincy, which has a very poor history in it.
Ben, what about you for this week? Captains and transfers.
So I've made my two transfers. I got rid of Callum Wilson for...
Hooray!
wait for it, for Kamara, who I think I did it to enable my other transfer. I'm a little bit worried because I'm guessing Ranieri's going to drop Kamara after his antics. But he's basically going to be third on my bench. And I looked at that price range. And no one else on that price range really plays. Like Colin Quaynard barely plays. So he's still probably the best shout for playing at that price point. And then I went Sterling to Salah. Just because I think... I was going to make this transfer maybe 1 week later after the City game, but after seeing City kind of give up a lot of chances against Southampton and Salah being really good against Arsenal and on penalties, I think I just decided to make the transfer 1 week earlier. So yeah, those are my two transfers. Longer term, I'm really interested in doubling up on Liverpool's defence. So I'm looking to maybe downgrade Alonso to Alexander-Arnold, and then upgrading Camarasa to like a 5.5 type midfielder. I think actually I could even afford like Pereira from Watford, but that's probably later down the line. But those are the two transfers I've made, and my captaincy right now is on Hazard against Southampton.
Wow! So you're fully back in the 4-4-2 formation.
Yep, I'm going fully 4-4-2.
Okay.
Classic formation.
It's very unclassic.
Yeah, it is.
Everyone's going 3-5-2 at the moment.
Yeah, that's why I want to upgrade Camaras a longer term so I can play 3-5-2. But I think for the interim, playing Deeney and Doherty every week is probably not a bad thing. So.
Yeah, and to be honest, while you're waiting for those transfers to come through, you've got Camarasa, who's on great form, to be honest, as a fifth midfielder. You know, an assist, a goal, two goals in the last four. That's pretty good for a 4.6. So, yeah, I think you just got to be brave and play him when you have to. Unlike me, when I had the chance, I spent 4 points. yeah, I mean, brave moves, Ben, but I fully back it. Maybe having Gary on the pod last week has made you go a bit more maverick.
Yep. Shout out to Gary. Well, I think for me, it's just like I couldn't live without Salah for much longer. I'm surprised my rank has not completely tanked, not having him these past 5 weeks. So it feels good to have him back in the side.
It's a strange week to do it with one of their hardest fixtures of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes, yeah.
But it's not one of the hardest fixtures of the season to score in. I think that's the key with Salah, isn't it? Because you're not picking him for clean sheets.
Yeah, that's true. My captains and transfers, my defence is looking great this game week. Got Doherty, Digne and Klasnach with nice plum home fixtures, good chance of attacking returns, and Bennett and Wan-Bissaka on my bench, ready to come in if Rashford doesn't play or if anyone else is dropped. So I'm pretty happy with that. Yeah, I kind of madly spent my points last week, so I think it's best for me now just to hold a transfer, hope that Martial comes in with another run of form like he had slightly earlier in the season. Kane has the captaincy at the moment. I think that's a decent shout. I don't think I'd put it on a player like Felipe Anderson because I just don't think he's consistent enough with the drip feed of points. He gets big hauls, but they're every three games or so, whereas Kane quite often is getting a goal this at the moment. So Kane's my captain. Felipe Anderson is my vice. And yeah, looking pretty good, I think. Ings is at the bottom of my bench, which is a little bit strange. It feels a bit weird playing your third striker as not as your first sub. But yeah, I just think I've got good defensive fixtures. So that's the way it is at the moment.
Are you happy with Sané long term?
I've coveted Sané for so long. I haven't had him in my team very long recently, so I feel a bit sad that he's been dropped recently and slightly lost his form. I might want to hold on to him a bit longer, but if Pogba keeps scoring the way he is, then he's my Pogba fund. So, yeah, I'm going to hold for the moment and see how it goes because I really like Sané. And if City turn it around and come back into form, I think he will probably be a big part of that. Yeah, so not for the moment. I think I'm going to hold for the moment. I like him.
That's a big shout. Quite the volte face on Pogba.
Volte face? Well, I mean, I did say that I just didn't understand why he's an effective FPL option. I know he's on penalties, but I still haven't seen the highlights of the Bournemouth game. I just don't understand why he's getting these goals. Maybe it is that he just wants to prove that he is the big man about town now Mourinho's gone. Maybe he can just turn it on like that. I just don't want to leave him all season if he keeps on this kind of form. I think sometimes you just have to not swallow your pride, but go against your gut slightly with players, especially if they're going to become really highly owned. Any more, or shall we sign off?
I've got nothing more.
You've got nothing left.
I've got nothing left.
Left everything out in the pod space. That's
exactly.
Pretty good. Okay, well, if you don't follow us already on Twitter, give us a follow at FPL FF Fanatics. It'd be great to hear from you. Get in touch with us on there. Let us know what you think about the show, anything you want us to include. Apart from that, it's a good night from me. Say goodbye, Andy.
Goodbye, everybody. And bring on Tom Heaton. What a goalkeeper.
Yeah. Say goodbye, Ben.
Goodbye, and I hope Pogba keeps proving Duncan horribly wrong.
And come on, Phil Bills, more 35-yard screamers. I want to see one of them go in this season.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.